You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
Thunder, baby, just like always. Bringing the thunder here on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. I'm your host, B. Just you and me. I'm Byron Avery, your host here. Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Yes, we are brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. Let me be the first to say good afternoon, John Tabor.
Good afternoon, sir.
How has your morning been so far? A little busy?
On par. I mean, it's part of my job, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Those that know me know this, so I'm just rolling right along.
Absolutely. And for those of you who can't tell, John Tabor does love his job, and I appreciate the job he does for our program. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT, for all your baseball and softball training needs, dbatmonroe.com. Tabor, I want to bring up a little something this morning just to get started. Children in the workplace. You probably know where I'm going with this. I know it's been talked about, but I haven't had a chance to talk about it. But children in the workplace, is it a good thing? How many of us get to take our kids to work every day? Sure, I've had times where I had to go pick up my kids and bring them to work for an hour or so, and, you know, that type of situation, things happen. You can't, you know, always control everything. But having your kid at work every day, not many people get to do that. Well, Adam LaRoche of the Chicago White Sox retired, leaving $13 million on the table because he was told his son could not come to work with him every day. Now, there's a couple of different sides. A couple of different sides to the story. He did it last year. Last year was his first year with the White Sox. He told reporters that before he signed his current contract for $25 million, that he approached that subject with the White Sox. They did their due diligence on his son, he said, and agreed that it was not a problem. His son's 14. I believe I read somewhere that he had a special needs child. I can't confirm that. But anyway, LaRoche said that before he signed his two-year, $25 million contract, his first question to the club concerned his son Drake's ability to be part of the team. The club and LaRoche reached an agreement. There were no problems with his son's presence last year. All of a sudden, Kenny Williams, the general manager for the White Sox, says, other players are complaining. That's what he tells the coaches. The coaches say that, you know, Williams tells the players that the coaches are complaining, and then he tells everyone else the decision came from ownership. Ownership says, I don't know. But anyway, Kenny Williams also outspoken a few years ago when his son, playing football for the San Francisco 49ers, fumbled and muffed a couple of punts in the playoffs that kept the 49ers from getting to the Super Bowl. But anyway, LaRoche, standing on principle, left $13 million on the table and said, "You told me my son could come here every day, and now you're telling me he can't." Chris Sale, opening day pitcher, says the team was told a bold-faced lie by Williams. So, you know, who knows? The other players have asked the players' union to step in on LaRoche's behalf. Reinsdorf, the owner, says, you know, we're going to continue to look into it. I just don't know where I stand. I can't bring my kid to work every day, and I realize that it's a sport and it's baseball, but it is a job. They're paying this guy $25 million over 2 years. Yes, there needs to be commitment one way or the other. If you say the guy can bring his kid, then let him bring his kid. I don't know. How do you feel about it? Reach out to us. Talk to me. You can reach us on the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762. Also, the Pulpwood Producers text line, 888-993-7762. And speaking of the Car King hotline, we have Zach Green from Car King on the line. Zach, welcome to the program again.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
It's all about you, buddy. It's another beautiful day for car buying out there. Tell us, what's hot on the lot?
Man, it is absolutely gorgeous today. Today we had a 2009 Chevrolet Tahoe LT with one owner, under 100,000 miles, three rows of seats and leather, $17,995 or $385 a month. Also, 2010 GMC Sierra Crew Cab Texas Edition, one owner, under 60,000 miles, $21,995 or $399 a month. 2014 Chevrolet new body style Z71, one owner, 4x4 LT Pearl, white and color crew cab, $30,995 or $499 a month. And for you people out there that are looking for a gas saver, got a 2014 Honda Civic, four-door, one owner, 27,000 miles, factory warranty, $14,995 or $245 a month. Wow. And you can visit us at 910 Louisville Avenue, or our second location, which is 12 Louisville Avenue. Look us up on our website, carkingmonroe.com, or just give us a call, 318-537-9779.
Those are some great deals, Zach. I know that I'm in the market for a vehicle for my son, so I know that that's where I'm going to head first. I tell you what, did you have a bracket in the NCAA tournament?
I had a bracket to like the second week.
Not doing too well, I'm guessing. Are you going to be watching the games today?
Absolutely. We're going to do a little cooking, watch the games, and throw some bags.
There you go. Zach, I really appreciate, one, your partnership with us on the broadcast, but also appreciate you letting the folks know what's going on out there at Car King.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Well, that was Zach Green from Car King. Zach's a great guy. You got a need, go see if he can meet that need. I know that he'll do his best. But Tabor, want to finish up real quick. What are your thoughts on the Adam LaRoche situation?
I'm with you, B. It should be a luxury to bring your kid to work, and I think for most all of us, that's kind of the level that it is. You know, or an emergency. You know, that's a totally different scenario. But
right,
you know, if I had a child, I wouldn't mind to bring him up here in the studio and show him what daddy does once in a while. But every day, then that becomes part of the job, and another person's child shouldn't be a coworker, in my opinion. I understand the boy was of high school age and had probably seen and heard as much things around his own peer group as he would inside of a locker room, especially if he plays ball himself, which I'm sure he does. But at what point does it become, well, if LaRoche's got his kid up here, you know, all the time, well, why can't I have mine? And, you know, then does it become, you know, a daddy daycare up there? And I've kind of... Not a huge fan of Kenny Williams or the White Sox to begin with my entire life, so it's hard for me to have a lot of pity upon him and them, but I do empathize with the position he's in where, you know, I can't compromise how I direct my entire ball club and my franchise to appease one man.
Right.
Just my two cents.
No, exactly. And, you know, I feel the same way. You know, but there's so many different facets to the story. One, if that's the way you feel, don't agree to it in the beginning. And, I mean, the kid's 14. He's there every day. Why isn't he in school? That's what I'm saying. I don't I don't know all the ins and outs.
I believe he's homeschooled, and that should be a private matter with LaRoche and his family. And I don't think – I haven't heard anywhere that Kenny Williams made that a point. And from my understanding, is Williams wasn't telling him, okay, the kid has to stop coming up here entirely, but just scale it back some. You know, he's not a player, and it's almost to where, you know, he was doing just little clubhouse chores, you know, for the boys. Probably, I'm sure they were probably tipping him more than a dime and nickel nowadays, but.
Right.
You know, at what point is, you know, you've got paid employees of the organization that are probably counting on their 40 hours a week to do clubhouse maintenance and upkeep. You know, when somebody's there that much, and at least me, I would start to, all right, man, you know, it's you know, give the kid a contract. You know, if it's that, give him a job. And, you know, if you want to give him a job and make him a paid employee of the company, then that's cool. That's a totally different dynamic.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like I said, there's too many facets to know exactly how to feel, but on the surface, knowing what we know, two things stand out. Man, don't bring your kid to work every day because everybody else can't do it. And then, if you're Kenny Williams, whatever you decide at the beginning, follow through with it. You know, so we don't know exactly what happened, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. This hour brought to you by Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden. Gina Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. We'll be back with more Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to Talking Sports. It's just you and me, and I'm B. Byron Avery, your host here on Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7. Before we get to our next guest, let's run through today's lineup card. Coming up next, Cody Futrell of the New Star. After that, Louisiana Tech track coach Gary Stanley at 12:45. Mark Montgomery, head softball coach at Louisiana Tech. Then Randy Meyer, West Wachita High School tennis coach. At 1:15, Keith Pavetto, the West Monroe High School golf coach. And 1:30, our final guest of the day, Courtney Hornsby, president of the West Monroe West Wachita Chamber of Commerce, talking about a few of their events. So that's your lineup card for today. We're going to take a few swings and get ready for the game. Up next, on the line now with us, actually, Cody Futrell of the New Star. Cody, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I understand you're watching a little ball again today.
That's right. Out here at the softball field at Wachita High School, another day of this North-South softball classic that has been hosted around the area. West Monroe, Wachita, West Wachita, and Ruston all hosting games yesterday and today. Saw a really, really good one. Two of the top teams in 5A. Wachita came into the week ranked number two in Class 5A softball. They beat number one Alexandria earlier in the week, and just about 30 minutes ago, they took down number five ranked Zachary from the Baton Rouge area in an unbelievably competitive game. Went into the bottom of the seventh 0-0 as both pitchers were on fire, and then Casey Shaw, Phil Shaw over at ULM, his daughter, blasted her first home run of the season, a two-run walk-off homer for Wachita to win 2-0. And here momentarily, about 10 minutes from now, we'll get started with Zachary versus Mangum. And then later on today here, Wachita will come back and play the last game around 2:30. They're going to be taking on Denham Springs in the last game of the tournament.
Well, I know Phil's proud. Having his daughter blast her first home run. Good for her and good for him. I noticed you posted something a little earlier about how you think Wachita should be moved up in the rankings now.
Yeah, they came in number two. They now have two wins this week over the top five teams. They beat the number one ranked team, Ash, Alexandria Senior High, and now this win today. Now, obviously, they still have Denham Springs, so they could flip up there, and a loss would certainly probably not move them up, but I don't see any way, barring something crazy, later on today that they can beat Denham Springs, and I don't see any way that they wouldn't be the number one team, and they're playing like it too. They've got a really experienced group. Addison Roark, their catcher, a four-year starter behind the plate at catcher. She's going to be playing at Louisiana Tech next year. Lady Texter fans will be excited to have her. Destiny is their pitcher is a two-year starter now. She started last year as a freshman and kind of got her feet wet. Struggled a little bit. They lost to Ash, their big district rival, in the last year in the second round here at home. So they've already gotten revenge for that and still trying to chase that district title. They're right now in a tie with Ash for that district title. And then West Monroe one game behind. West Monroe Wichita play here at Wichita on Monday in a game that was rained out last week. Still a lot of good softball here still to go, and a really, really good 5A district. Probably the best district top to bottom in the state.
Wow, sounds like a lot of fun to watch. What all teams are out there this weekend?
In this tournament, you've got teams from all over the state. Some of the best teams in different classifications. One of the top teams in 2A, in 3A. I think the number one ranked team actually in 3A at Prime Prairie is here. Not at Wichita today, but at playing around the field. Like, for example, Mangum just arrived about 20 minutes ago. They played at West Wichita this morning, and now they're here at Wichita, made the bus ride over to Wichita to play this game. You've got Denham Springs is in from a 5A team from the Baton Rouge area. Of course, Zachary, West Monroe, our local teams are West Monroe, Wichita, West Wichita, Ruston. And so it's a really good tournament. It's been some good games. It's been some good turnouts by the fans, and looking forward to some great games here today as well.
Okay, team like you said, the North South. So a lot of South Louisiana teams up here. Glad that they're coming to our part of the country, and we get to go see those. What's on your schedule this week?
I'll be back here for that Western Wichita showdown. Two great local 5A softball teams on Monday. Tuesday, West Monroe and West Wichita baseball have their annual Pink Out game for breast cancer awareness that they've been doing the last few years. As I'm sure we've talked about in the past, and as a lot of people, your listeners know, those two programs are two of the premier programs in this area. West Wichita has done very well in 4A over the last decade under Mitch Thomas. West Monroe has been to the state tournament a few times the last few years, in recent years in 5A. So, and both those teams are really, really good this year. West Wichita sporting our new star All-Northeast Player of the Year the last 2 years in Zach Watson. He's now a senior. He won that award as a sophomore and a junior. He's led the area in home runs the last 2 years. He's an LSU signee. A fellow SEC signee is playing for West Monroe in outfielder Jacob Pearson. So two future SEC rivals will be going at it in that game. So that'll be interesting to watch. And then I actually haven't decided yet exactly where I'm going to be for the weekend. And I'll be somewhere in baseball for the weekend coming up. But I hadn't made that decision yet. But my early part of the week is looking like going to be some really good local games and some great rivalries.
Absolutely. And, you know, I catch a West Monroe High School baseball game every now and then, and it's interesting because my son grew up playing against most of those guys in Little League. You got Taylor Young, Robert Scott Faust, Slade Bolden. All of a sudden, some of the other ones aren't coming to me right now, but it's interesting to listen to the game and hear those kids. They've got some, and I remember those kids coming up. They were solid even when they were young. A lot of baseball experience on that West Monroe team.
Right. And, also I want to mention, too, I don't know if we're going to get into any basketball, if you had planned that or not, but our All-Northeast area teams are out this weekend. We released our small schools today, and as well as our small and big school our small school boys and girls coach of the year and our overall player, girls player of the year. And then tomorrow we'll release our overall boys basketball, all area player of the year, as well as boys and girls big school, which the way we break it down is big schools are 3A through 5A, and then small schools are class B, C, 1A, and 2A. So, if people want to go check that out, see if your favorite team was represented there.
Well, what can you tell us about what y'all released today?
Our all-area girls player of the year is Michaela Wilson from Ravel. She is right now ranked number 7. She came into the year ranked number 5, but has since been knocked down to number 7 by ESPN as a number 7, the top recruit in the whole entire country. She held offers. She hasn't. She's got a unique situation in recruiting in that she hasn't. She's about to start her senior year, yet she hasn't really released a top 10 list or a top 5 list like a lot of the kids do. She plans to release a top 10 list. She told me next month and take some visits coming up. But she holds offers from all of the top programs just about in the South, including Baylor, Louisville, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida State. Of course, the local schools, ULM, Louisiana Tech, are after her. I think she'd be a great fit if she felt like staying home. I think she'd be a great fit for either one of the local programs here. You know, I'm sure she fits the mold of some of those former great Louisiana Tech players. So I'm sure they're hot and heavy after her. And it'd be interesting to see how she does. She averaged a double-double, 25 points, 13 rebounds this year. Great year for her. Still chasing that elusive state title. Of course, you know, Ravel won the state title in girls basketball about 4 years ago, but Michaela has not been able to get there yet. She enters her senior year still chasing that, but a couple of district championships and averaging 25 and 13, not a bad way to start, not a bad way to end her junior year.
You've been high on her for a while, though, Cody. I just want to throw that in. So,
absolutely. Yeah, she is a very dominant player. She's such a unique player in that she's about 6'1", which is tall for a girl, and she has a real good build, and she can play the post, but she can also go out and defend on the perimeter, and she can lead an offense. She can dribble the ball, she can handle it, she can play point guard when needed, and she can do just about everything. And that was our player of the year. I've had a good time to sit down with her and talk about her junior year this year, so look for that. And also on our coaches of the year, our small school boys coach of the year is Simsboro's Josh Brown. What a great year they had getting to the top 28. And then on the girls' side, our small school is Michaela Wilson's head coach, first-year head coach, Jakira Sneed, who almost, she was worried about not being able to finish the season because of a pregnancy, and she had the baby just a week or so after the season ended. And so she's a new mother and had a great year leading those guys. She's a former Lady Texter player over in Ruston. So, she was able to really, really kind of tutor Michaela on a lot of things, not just basketball, but kind of not just the game, but also the recruiting process. And I think that was good for her as well. So their relationship's really strong, and she's got that program going in the right direction. So, That was our small school girls player of the year, so you can look for that. That's out today, and then tomorrow we'll reveal our boys overall player of the year and then our small and big school coaches.
Okay, great. Well, Cody, I really appreciate you coming on again. Remind everyone how they can keep up with what you have going on.
You can follow me. I'll be out here all day if you're wanting updates on this softball tournament here at Wachita. CFU Trail, TNS on Twitter. All of our articles, videos, anything you're looking for to keep up with the latest high school sports as can be found also at thenewstar.com.
All right. Well, Cody, go have some fun watching some great softball, get some sun, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All right. This segment brought to you by Katie's in Monroe. Go to Katie's on Louisville Avenue in front of County Market. Get a great breakfast or a hot lunch. Katie's on Louisville Avenue in Monroe. We'll be back with more messages. We'll be back with more here on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. How appropriate is that music, Taper? Chariots of Fire. All about the race. What a great segue for our next guest. Head coach Gary Stanley, Tech Track and Field. Coach, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, how are you, Byron? How's everything in Ruston?
Everything's great in Ruston, I'm assuming. So that's good. How's everything in Texas?
Oh, very good. After yesterday, we had three rain delays and cold, rainy wind, and you know the meet was about two hours behind, and everybody was huddled up under the football stadium, and you know it wasn't a great experience. But hey, it's Texas Relays. It's the second largest track meet in America, and you know it's great to be here. So today's sunny and bright, and looking forward to a couple of our jumpers jumping this afternoon and hopefully doing well.
So you're at the Texas Relays. You're in Austin. Had a miserable day yesterday. Tell me though, do you still drive the little blue Honda? Did you take it to Austin?
No, actually, I didn't. The little blue Honda has been sold. The Del Sol that toured America and Canada, and I'm actually in a Jeep, just a Jeep Wrangler with roll-up windows now. Recruit gets in the car and they don't even know how to work the window. They're looking like it's something out of the Stone Age or something. I'm like, what? Anyway.
Well, that's good. So tell us what you're looking forward to, what your expectations are for the Texas Relays.
Well, today actually will be, our best day. We've got a guy that just finished up with us, Jarvis Gotch, who was world ranked in the long jump, and he is out of outdoor eligibility, jumping unattached, and he goes in the long jump at 3. And at the same time, Mia Adams, who is a senior, is going to jump, and she's on the national list right now, representing Louisiana Tech. So that's what's going to happen today. Very small group this year, particularly on the men's side. I sent a message that if you're not going to pass a class, you're not going to miss a class. And Texas Relays, you miss Thursday and Friday. And I don't know how baseball does it. They miss so many classes. But anyway, I just put my foot down. So we bought the smallest contingent that I've ever brought in my 34 years of coaching at Louisiana Tech. But I think it will help in the future when kids realize if you want to go to Texas Relays and see not just a great track meet, but one of the largest activities in urban America with the music festival that is in conjunction with the relays. It's an amazing sight and sounds. Then you've got to take care of some business. So, long story short, not a lot going on today.
Well, and I know that about you, and I've always appreciated that about you. You know, you've got your standards and your principles, and you hold to them. So, it's amazing to me what you've been able to do there. And I know it's the longevity, but what you've been able to do there, and you know, it's not a secret, you know, the track and field team doesn't have the largest budget on campus. You know, that's not what we're here to talk about, but the results you've gotten, very, very good to see all of those, Coach.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and, you know, I still have a great passion for it. Probably the hardest thing now is continually getting my assistant coaches rated by the Power Five people and having this turnover that, you know, for a long time we had the longest, you know, running staff where we all stayed together. And you know, lately the money's just gotten so outrageous in the Power Fives. You know, it's not just football and basketball that you read about with all these salaries. You know, it's trickle down economics to track and field. Well, in the Power Five cases, that is anyway. But, you know, that's an issue. But I enjoy it. I've got a good staff this year. I'm really excited about them. They're working hard with the kids. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think most people that know me realize that I really enjoy what I do. And I think most coaches do. It's just really fun.
Absolutely. I know you pour your heart into it every year. Tell me a little bit about Jeremy Hicks. I know that he's your latest All-American, and he had a great showing.
You know, a wonderful kid out of Edna Carr in New Orleans, you know, kind of a typical kid out of New Orleans that, you know, fought through some adversity and has really done well. He's really starting to getting a handle on his academics better than he was, and you know, I think he's going to go far outdoors. He was in the 60 meters indoors, and I think the 100 outdoors will be a really good event, and the 200 also. He's really coming along. He's got a couple of years left. We redshirted him 1 year indoors, so he's got a couple of indoors left, and this outdoor and another outdoor. And I'm hopefully going to be in Eugene for the NCAA final round in June.
Awesome. That used to confuse the heck out of me because we had so many different seasons. You had cross country, you had indoor track, you had outdoor track. And it just, But I finally got a handle on it thanks to all your tutelage.
Well, I tell you what, you're not the only one that gets confused. And what I basically tell people is, like, you know, we have six sports under one umbrella, and, you know, Tech has 16, and we have six of them. So they're getting a bargain for their money, let me just say that.
Absolutely. So you said that Texas is the second largest. Would pin relays be the largest?
Very good. Very, very astute observation there, Byron. Yeah, that's the largest. We've been up there several times, and, man, it's a scene, I'll tell you that. And, you know, you just never know what the weather's going to be, and that sounds kind of odd considering what we had yesterday. But I've been up there, and, you know, it's snowing. You know, we used to go to Drake, too, and there'd be, like, snow filling the stadium, and then 5 minutes before it starts, you would have, you know, the stands would be packed. It would be like, you know, the 70th sellout in a row, year in a row that they sold out on Saturday. So Drake would be the third behind Penn at two. And then, I'm sorry, behind Texas with Penn being one. So they're great experiences for kids that get to see what track is. Unless you go to the Olympic trials or unless you go to Europe, which is really where it's a very cool scene, you don't really have an appreciation for what track can be, and I like our kids to be able to see that and kind of aspire to get to that level.
Absolutely. And recently we held the Jim Mize track meet. So tell me how that went.
It went well. You know, the weather cooperated on day two. Day one we had some events get rained out on Friday night, and day two we did well. We don't charge admission, but we have a donation box, and it's a big fundraiser for us. A lot of people sponsor an event with a naming right to it, you know, the Byron Avery 100-meter dash. You could do that next year, right? So anyway, you know, you get your name in a program, and we use it as a fundraiser, but we had several teams up, and it was a spirited competition, and we enjoyed it. We had some, you know, pretty decent marks in the jumps, and it looked like the seasoning opening on the relay. We had a botched handoff, and things I wasn't happy about, but that's to be expected. It was the first outdoor meet and the first with several events that you don't do indoors, namely the 4x1 relay, the long hurdles, and of course the javelin and the weight throw, which a young lady by the name, a little sophomore by the name of Liza Wall, set a school record in the hammer throw at the Mize meet, and then again last week. So we're real pleased with her, and she's gonna go far, I think.
Yeah, it always amazed me how many people it took to put on a track meet. You think, you know, you got a bunch of guys out there, they're gonna race and all that, but you've got so many officials that you have to bring in because, you know, somebody sets a mark. If it's not officiated correctly, it doesn't count.
It is, and you know, we try to do it with as few as possible because you got to pay these people, but. You know, if you go to a pretty big meet, you'll see 80, 85, 90 officials, you know, working. Because you've got so much going on at one time. You might have three field events at one time, the running event, et cetera. It is a labor, I'll tell you. And with us, you know, basically having the one meet, you don't really have an officials association. But we welcome any help, any listener that wants to come get involved. It's great. Kevin Sherry, our soccer coach, brings his entire team out, and they work. And then Adriano with volleyball comes out, and man, we couldn't do it without them. So they come out and get to see some, you know, some of their fellow athletes competing, and you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. That shows how much you mean to the athletic department when you've got your peers out there helping you. So Gary, I'm gonna take a step out on a limb here and say that I'm sure you're connected on the interweb and the Twitter machine. You have people following you on that?
I've got to tell you, I'm probably the last guy in America. I don't tweet. Matter of fact, I have to get people to tell me what people are saying on other sites. And the thing that I found out when I first got in on the internet and stuff, and they had a Louisiana site mainly for high schools, and you know, they would have the different posts that people would make, and I would get so angry. You know, I'm ready to jump in my car and go hunt this person down, you know. So what I learned is the less I deal with that, the better. Let other people that can shrug it off and stuff and do it. But we do have some people that follow the program, obviously, and the we do have an official site, and Patrick Wallace is involved with that, and my assistant coach, Jake Cohen, does a little bit of that, and I kind of stay out of it. You know, I'm after 34 years, you know, some of the spots on the leopard aren't going to change or whatever the saying is, so I just try to get very good people that are very good at what they do to do that.
Yeah, I felt very confident in making that statement. Now, I know you've got a little bit of a coaching tree out there, you know, people, assistants that have gone on to coach other places. I just want to ask you about one. Where is Sean Jackson?
Sean Jackson is actually, I tried to connect with him last night, and he was already on his way back home. He is doing a great job at TCU. Two of my former assistants are at TCU making big dollars and very, very big program. Conference-wise, they're not that good, but nationally-wise, they're always in the top 10, which means big bonus. And, you know, he's knocking down a bunch of dollars now, and I'm very, very happy for him. We were just talking about him this morning, and probably my longest serving assistant, and, you know, just a good guy that did a lot for our program and was very, very loyal to me, which is very big. So, he's there. Got my guy that left last year, Calvin Robinson, is at Texas Tech. I mean, these guys are like making 2.5 times what they made at Louisiana Tech, which is to be expected, you know. But anyway, Sean's doing well, and we remain friends to this day.
Absolutely. Had a lot of great conversations with him. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you got a lot going on over there in Austin, but we appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Thanks a lot. Enjoyed being on.
All right, Coach Gary Stanley, Louisiana Tech Track. We're going to take another break. This segment was sponsored by Greg Phillips State Farm Insurance. We'll be back with more here on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. We are brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. This hour brought to you by Jenny Eubanks, Allstate Insurance, in Ruston and Minden. Jenny Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. Hit us up on the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at TSports977FM, as our next guest has done. So follow his example. Welcome to the program, Coach Mark Montgomery, Louisiana Tech softball.
How are you doing today?
Doing great, Coach. I know you're struggling. You're in a horrible environment today. It's got to be freezing cold there in Boca Raton, Florida.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of worse places to be, that's for sure. So we're enjoying some sunshiny weather, looking at some palm trees, getting ready to play some softball.
Absolutely. I've been to Boca several times. Wonderful, wonderful place to be. Of course, now you got to go out and do some work.
Yeah, no kidding. You're playing the number 23 team in the nation, and they've got the second best ERA of any team in the country, and the top three ERAs of all the pitchers in Conference USA. So we got our work cut out for us for sure.
Well, you are batting .325 as a team and holding opponents to .281, so your pitching's not real shabby either.
Well, yeah, let's hope that all adds up today. If it comes out, we'll be in good shape. So,
well, tell us what you're expecting from this series and what you got going on. You know, I know that you're not where you want to be in conference. So, tell me what's got to happen.
Well, you know, we kind of fell into kind of a tough luck situation. We had the series with Western Kentucky, and you never know how that would have played out, but unfortunately it was canceled. So we lost a home series that we felt pretty good about, and then we have to go on the road and play at a tough environment out in El Paso. And I don't care what team you are or where you're at, but when you have to go out there and play, it's a difficult place to get to play, and so that certainly challenged us. We didn't do quite as well. Played close a couple games, but ended up dropping all three. And so now you've lost the series, and then you dropped three, and now you're at the number one team in conference. So, yeah, it's definitely not necessarily where we saw ourselves setting at this time, but try to remind the kids that we're running a marathon, not a sprint, and we want to do well this series. But, again, it's one game at a time, one pitch at a time, and as long as we're where we need to be come May, then we'll be just fine.
Right, and it's hard sometimes. I mean, I know you're 18-9 overall. But it's hard sometimes when you're struggling in conference, especially to keep those kids focused. And I know a lot of coaches try to do that, tell them it's, you know, you got to be big picture thinkers. It's not where you are today, it's where you end up.
Well, you know, again, it's always easier said than done, but we've always preached the process to our kids from day one. It didn't matter who we played, when we played. We always try to view it as we're competing against the front of our uniform, not the front of theirs, and get the kids to understand it's just about how we play and how we do things. And if they can remember that and go through, then, you know, I like our chances. We're an awfully good team, and again, you know, fortune sometimes, you know, this can be a great thing for us at the end of the year, because really, I mean, 8 teams make it to the conference tournament. All you got to do is make it there, and then who knows what can happen, you know. So that's certainly our goal, is just to keep playing the games one game at a time. And you know, and again, I like our team. I mean, I think we're a good team. I think we got some good moxie about us, and so I think we'll be right there coming in. But, you know, right now we got to do one game at a time here against Florida Atlantic.
You know, if you could change your voice to be just a little bit drier, you could be Bill Belichick. One game at a time. We got to focus on what we have to do. It's the name on the front of the shirt. We just, everybody do their job. That's right. But it is right. You know, he doesn't have a lot of flash and flair when he's talking to people. He doesn't want to be there. But what he says is accurate. If we just focus on doing our job right, sometimes that means it doesn't matter what the other team does.
Well, it does, and I understand it's cliche and it's coach speak, and everybody can say that. We all love the big sound bites from, you know, from everybody, and I understand it. But the truth is, for a team to do its job, to just go out and play it pitch after pitch, no matter what happens, take the good with the good, the bad with the bad, and just keep going and do your job. I promise you, that's the way teams, the resilient teams, the teams that have integrity, the teams that are accountable to each other, that do all those little things correctly, they're the ones that do that on a day-in and day-out basis, and that's certainly who we're wanting to become.
Oh, absolutely, and there was no negativity in that comment. I love Belichick's press conferences because he's not giving people what they want, but he is speaking the truth. He is, you know, he's telling it how it has to be, and, you know, there's no room. If you're about going out and winning, well, then, look, that's what you focus on, so... I'm agreeing with all of that.
Yeah.
So you guys are no slouch at the plate. You got 29 home runs on the season, and with Anna and Pauline leading the way. So how do you feel about your bats today going against those FAU pitchers?
Well, you know, they're number one pitcher special. I mean, she's gonna, if she chooses to, she'll play in the professional women's league when she's graduated. She's probably one of the top 10 pitchers in the nation right now, and Rachel Hansen, she's just awfully good. And our job is just to go out it really is trying to swing at good pitches. If we can get a good swing on a good pitch, then good things can happen. And you got to lay off of her junk. And again, it's easier said than done. But I like us. We've had a good week of practice. We've been able to, replicate the situation as much as we can. You can't ever totally put another Hansen in there to throw batting practice, but we worked hard this week to try to prepare for her, and if we can go out and give, again, obviously I'm by the airport, the Boca Airport, their field is located at, the plane just took off, if we can go replicate that, and again, swing at good pitches, I think we got a good shot to hit well today.
Well, you're not a young team, so to speak, but you only have 6 seniors on the team. I'm not sure how many of those are regular starters, but you do have some underclassmen that you can rely on in the future.
Absolutely, yeah. We are a very well-balanced team. I mean, we finally have some upperclassmen that are showing just tremendous leadership, and even some of the ones that don't play are far more valuable than you would ever guess, looking maybe at numbers, just in terms of what they mean to leadership and moving this team in a positive direction. And then we have a lot of young talent that's coming in. I like to believe that our staff's done a really good job of recruiting over the last couple of years, and I think that's starting to pay off with some of the talent of some of the freshmen that are in the lineup, or sophomores that are in the lineup and playing on an everyday basis and contributing. And now that those classes have balanced out, we've got good seniors, juniors, sophomores, and freshmen, you're starting to see a team that has capabilities of playing high-level softball emerge, and that's what we're really excited about.
All right, well, Coach, we're going to let you go. I know you got something coming up at 1 o'clock. I appreciate you taking your time.
No problem. Enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
good luck
we're
going
to do our best to get out of here with the couple W's today. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Bye-bye.
Coach Mark Montgomery, Louisiana Tech softball in Boca for a Conference USA series. We'll take another break. This segment was sponsored by Greg Phillips, State Farm Insurance. We'll be back talking sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program. Talking sports on ESPN 97.7 FM this hour, brought to you by the Riverport Creative Group in West Monroe. Visit us, shoot us an email, rather, at the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com. Well, on the phone with us now, the West Ouachita High School tennis coach, Randy Meyer. Coach, welcome to the program.
Appreciate it, Byron. Glad to be here.
I know you've had a busy week. You guys, you had your team down in Opelousas. Tell us a little bit about that trip.
Well, our program, we like to travel. I'm an old college coach from my days back at Tech with the Lady Texters, so I enjoyed that immensely when I had that opportunity. I want to try and share that with the kids at West Ouachita and our tennis program in particular. So we usually have a couple of overnight trips every year, and as you say, we just got back from Opelousas. We went down bright and early Tuesday morning. We loaded up out at the school at about 7 o'clock and hit the road and checked into our hotel at about 11 and then headed straight to the courts for 5 hours of tennis Tuesday afternoon. We played some kids from Opelousas High School Tuesday. We played a few kids from Westminster Academy, a little private school down there. And then we also played some kids from Opelousas Catholic. So Tuesday was a pretty busy and a pretty draining day. Beautiful weather down there, nice tennis facility, and kids were definitely excited to be out for spring break, excited to get to travel, and excited to get to play some tennis and to do a little team building at the same time.
Well, tell us about your team. What's the makeup? Are you senior laden?
Well, we're really pretty young this year. Last year, our girls team was regional champions in our division. We sent 14 out of 16 possible kids on both boys and girls teams combined to the state tournament in our division. We graduated six of those kids and had six tremendous seniors, four on the boys' side and two on the girls' side. This year, we're considerably younger. Out of our six boys on the varsity and eight girls on the varsity, we have three seniors. We have four juniors, so that's seven, and then the rest of our 14, the other seven, are freshmen and sophomores. So we're quite a bit younger than we were last year. I wouldn't really say that we're in a rebuilding stage this year, but we're just a little bit younger. We've still got some strong kids at the top of both our boys and girls program, and looking forward to the challenges ahead in the next couple of weeks once we get back to school on Monday and then leading into our regional and state tournament.
Well, tell me a little bit about the makeup of your district, who's strong there, and what are your expectations?
Well, in our regional that we have coming up, which is kind of a mixture of some of our district teams, Neville, of course, you know, was one of our big competitors. Bastrop's in our district as well as our regional. We have some schools from down around the Alexandria area that are in our regional. I guess actually our district per se, we don't have as many real tennis programs. Franklin Parish has a tennis program. Bastrop has a tennis program, although they're constantly kind of in a rebuilding or a beginning stage because most of the athletes there, I believe, are probably football, basketball, track, baseball, and softball, and there's not as much interest in tennis. But other than ourselves, you know, Ruston will be in our regional, Cattle Magnet over in Shreveport will be in our regional, Parkway's in our regional. So we have a mix of 4A and 5A schools. In tennis, it goes by division. So we're in Division II. Division One is pretty much the 44 biggest tennis-playing schools. Division Two would be the next 44 biggest tennis-playing schools. So we're normally going to have 10 or 12 of the smaller 5A schools playing in our division, and some of those would be at the regional level, and some of them will be at the state level. But our big competition come regionally will be Neville and Ruston and Cattle Magna by far.
Okay. All right, so what are your expectations for this season? I know you said you're a little bit young, so what are you looking for?
Well, I guess when regional rolls around, we've got a girls' number one team, Morgan Meyer and Amy Speller. They were regional runner-ups last year to our number one tennis team from last year that won the regional. So those two are excited about the possibility of going back to regionals and continuing our tradition from the last couple of years of having the number one regional girls doubles team champion. We've got a couple of singles players, Michaela Thompson, who's a junior, and Catherine Camp, who's a senior, that both have an opportunity to qualify for state. And those are four of our older kids, all juniors and seniors. On the boys' side, we have two boys, a senior, Orlando Nelson, and a sophomore, Michael O'Lynn, in singles. They both have an opportunity to qualify for state. And then our number one boys doubles team, Patrick Camp, sister of Catherine Camp. We have a brother-sister tandem on our team. And Dylan Pobletti, they're our boys number one team. And they also, they have a good shot of qualifying for state. So we haven't played Neville yet. The first time with Neville got rained out. We've played Ruston once and did pretty well against them. And we've played Cattle Magna and did pretty well against them. So as soon as we see Neville this next week, we'll have a really good idea of how we're going to stack up against our other three top opponents come regional time here about 2 weeks from this coming Monday.
Okay. And I believe I heard that you guys have some new courts coming along.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are so blessed at West Ouachita. We had six new courts that were completed right before Christmas break. So we've been on those since we came back in early January, and it's just going to be a tremendous benefit for our program. Everybody that's come out there is envious of us, and just so thankful to the school and the parish, you know, for coming up with the money to build us this new complex. It's going to continue to help our program grow over the next few years. You know, it's just a blessing for us. It's made practices so much easier, and it's allowed us to invite in more than one team once in a while and possibly have little triangular tennis matches instead of duels, which are done most of the time. But it's going to do wonders for our program moving forward.
All right. Well, I look forward to keeping up with you. Transition just a little bit. You know, the last time you and I spent any time around each other, the last big time was I was sitting at the end of the scores table and you were sitting at the end of the bench in Richmond, Virginia, in 1994.
Yes, that's a long time ago.
Yes, it is, and I tell you what, that is one of the moments that I'll never forget because I was all prepared for one thing with 0.7 seconds left, and then I had absolutely no idea what to do next.
Well, I tell you, I can remember that moment like it was yesterday, and every now and then the kids at West Ouachita that are knowledgeable with basketball and NCAA basketball in particular, when they find out that I had coached at Louisiana Tech and coached in the national championship game, we'll get on our smart board and we'll pull up, you know, the last minute or so of that game and watch it play out. But I remember it like it was yesterday, and we had called a timeout because with 0.7 seconds left, we thought at the time the only thing that North Carolina would be able to do was lob it in toward the basket and, you know, catch it in the air and shoot it or tap it toward the basket. And we told our kids, you know, this was the plan of attack. They had the ball out of bounds underneath their own basket, and we were supposed to switch on everything, you know, hoping for some kind of a lob because we had a couple of six-foot-plus girls down underneath. They were both excellent athletes. And I guess the worst possible thing happened. We had a switch that didn't happen, which left the girl wide open at the three-point line. She caught the ball, took a dribble, and then let it fly. And the rest is history. We lost by one.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, we're talking about the 1994 National Championship game in Richmond, Virginia, between Louisiana Tech and North Carolina, where Charlotte Smith cheated. Well, she didn't cheat. Whoever's running the clock should have hit the button a little bit sooner, but She hit a big shot that put them up by one and took the national championship hopes away from the Louisiana Tech Lady Texans. Like I said, I was sitting there. I had my stuff in my arms, ready to go do, you know, what I had to do for the win. And then all of a sudden, I just honestly, Randy, I had no idea what to do next.
Well, I'm telling you, we were standing there, and we all had our hands up in the air because we thought we were going to be national championship. We thought we were going to win the national championship. And I remember looking at Kim Mulkey right before the ball was put into play, and I said, we fixing to win a gold ring. And then what transpired happened, and we wound up with the silver. But, you know, all in all, one of the best memories of my life, and certainly my days at Tech, are precious to me, and I'll never forget them.
Yeah, it was an exciting trip, an exciting time. Looking forward, I wish those times would come back around. Hopefully Tyler Summitt's the right man to do it. But a lot of good memories from those Lady Texter teams, Danielle Whitehurst and those guys. And I can't remember, and I don't want to mention the girl's name on the air, but she was from Atlanta, wasn't she? And I remember the New Orleans Times guy that tried to basically, it sounded like he was blaming her for the loss, and she didn't know what to say, and Coach Barmore lit into him. So Coach Barmore always took up for his players.
Well, you're right about that. You know, I remember many times in staff meetings he told us the players always come first, and have tried to do that over the years with every program that I've ever been at since I left Tech, and learned so much under him, and continue to try and pass along some of those little nuggets to my assistant coaches that I've had over the years in basketball and now in tennis, and just many, many memories. There are too many for me to count anymore.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, I appreciate you taking some time coming on the program. Interested in following and see what happens with West Ouachita tennis this year.
All right. Appreciate it very much, Brian. Byron.
All right. You have a great afternoon, and we'll be back with more on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. We are brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. This hour brought to you by Riverport Creative Group. We just talked tennis. Now we're turning our attention to golf. On the phone, joining us, we have Coach Keith Pavetto of West Monroe High School. Coach, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I understand you guys had a good trip recently.
Yes, sir. We took the team down St. Patrick's Day, actually, to the Barb Invitational, and we came away with we wound up winning that tournament. Oh, I believe we shot 310 as a team. You know, in high school golf, you enter five guys, and you take the top four scores. And we played really well down at Gray Plantation in Lake Charles. And this past weekend, we went down, well, actually not past weekend, Monday and Tuesday of spring break, we went down to the St. Louis Catholic High Invitational, also in Lake Charles, and shot a two-day total of 612, shot 310 at the National Golf Club of Louisiana Westlake, and shot 302 at Gray Plantation that following Tuesday. So I'm very happy with the guys' progress, and they're just a great bunch of kids.
Well, and I know that you had great play from all your guys, and you even had an individual medalist, correct?
That's right. We Michael McMahon, he received a medal at the St. Louis Invitational Tournament. He wound up shooting one under par on day two and had a great tournament. You know, he's had a slow start because he kind of had a little back issue, and he's been back for the last couple of weeks now and playing really, really, really well. I'm so proud of him. He's a senior and, you know, 4.0 student. Also, he made the composite State of Louisiana all-academic team with a 4.0. Now, composite for our LHSA is all divisions. Well, in golf, it's divisions. It's not classes. So you got to include every golfer in the state of Louisiana. He made that that composite all-state academic team with a 4.0 grade point average. So I'm very, very proud of Michael, and he's doing a great job this year as a leader of the team.
Well, I'm sure that's going to make his parents, Dr. Steve and Steve's wife, Joy, I'm sure that makes them happy. I know they have high expectations, and they got some great kids, I know. So tell me a little bit how it works in golf. It's not, you don't really have district play, correct?
Right. Well, we do actually have a district. Our district tournament will be April 18th at Huntington Park in Shreveport. Our district is comprised of Northeast Louisiana, which includes Ruston, Ouachita, all the other teams in our district, along with West Ouachita. They got moved up to Division I golf, and the Shreveport schools. So that's Bird, Airline, Captain Shreve, and all that bunch.
Okay. And how many guys on your team?
Our team will actually have 10 guys. I have 6 that are kind of on the competition team, the district team, and I have the other 4 that are kind of like lifetime sport players right now, or JV players. At their time, hopefully, will come later down the road to make the top 5. But my team consists of 2 seniors, Michael McMahon and Jed Counts. I have 2 juniors, actually 3 juniors, Joel Boyette, Jack North, and also Peyton Underwood, and I have 1 sophomore, Joey Kirkland. So those are the main 6. Out of that 6, I'll get 5, and the 6th one will be the alternate.
Now, how do you determine that? Do you qualify every week or before every tournament?
Well, we don't qualify for every tournament. We have an ongoing process of common events that they play in. You know, I take an aggregate score, and we also had some par 3 contest scores. We had a 9-hole qualifier. We actually are going to be going down. We have a tournament coming up Monday. The following Saturday, Sunday, we're in a 2-day tournament. And then we'll have 1 more type of private qualifying event. And then after that, I'll add them up. And then whoever's the top 5 will be the district team, and the other one will be the alternate. So it's kind of an ongoing season-long process.
Right. Well, again, a lot of people don't know how high school golf works. A lot of people don't know how anything other than football and basketball and baseball works. So that's one of the things we want on the show. It's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here. So what are your expectations? I know there's, state and other situations that your guys will participate in.
Right. I have a group of kids that have, for the last, Michael has been on the, into the state tournament 3 years in a row with the team. 2 years ago, our team made it with a very young squad. We made it to the state tournament kind of unexpectedly and performed fairly well. We finished 5th, which was not a disappointment because we really, to get there was an accomplishment. Had it all back last year, and of course we qualify again for state, through districts and regionals, and we didn't perform really well at the state tournament. But one thing that did to these guys that motivated them and changed their line of thought, and they've made some tremendous improvements in their game. They're hungry. And, of course, they're all back this year. And naturally, we got to move on from district to regional to state. But we feel we have a pretty good team that can get there. It's not about winning district other than in high school golf, the winner of the district gets to host the district tournament the following year. Now, that's a prize. But that's not the goal. The goal in the regional or the district, they take the top 4 teams that advance, and they take the top 4 individuals not associated with those teams, and they do the same thing at regional. The only thing is regionals takes in Southwest Louisiana, the Bayou districts, which is Thibodeau, Terrebonne, that area of the state, and Lafayette. So it's a little broader area. And there are a couple of really good teams that's going to come out of that district. Barb, Sulphur, and also St. Thomas More. So our work will be cut out for us. I really believe we're better than Barb. Their 1 and 2 and our 1 and 2 are tit for tat, so to speak, but we're deeper. Our 3 and 4 is much better than their 3 and 4. So we've beaten Barb both times, and we've also beaten Sulphur both times. So, but they're also in the same boat. Their 1 and 2 are pretty good little players, but their 3 and 4 are not as good as our 3 and 4s.
Well, it sounds like you definitely a lot of competition even among your own team, and no time for rest. What's next on the schedule?
We have Monday, April 4th. We have the NELA Open at Calvert Crossing, which is sponsored by the Glenwood Regional Medical Center. This is a local event for all the local schools that play in our, not our association, but we have a kind of a local circuit, so to speak. But also this year, St. Louis Catholic is coming up with a team of 6 guys, and also Minden may enter a few guys. So it's a local event with a couple of outside teams coming up. That'll be Monday. It'll be an 18-hole event. And I always play all of my kids in that, so all 10 golfers will play in it, my top 6 plus the other 4. And it'll be a good chance to get some qualifying scores. And then Friday we'll leave to go to Karen Crow, Louisiana, to play in the Arrowhead Junior Golf Association tournament at Farm D'Alley, where our state tournament's going to be held. We'll play at a 2-day event there. Then that'll be pretty much it for the upper guys in formal tournaments. And then we'll have one other local tournament for the other kids in Jonesboro Hodge at that golf course the following Tuesday. And then it's just taking the rest of the week and a half to get ready for the district tournament.
So in Jonesboro, that's at the old Advanced Country Club, is that correct?
Right, 9-hole golf course that kind of goes around a lake.
Yep.
We'll be playing now, down there. But like I said, that's not going to be my top group. That's going to be my other kids, my my JV team.
Right.
Give them a chance to play.
Now, what teams are going to be there for that?
All the same teams. That'll be all the local teams.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
When I say local, I mean anywhere from Ruston to Delhi Charter, Oak Grove, ourselves, Neville, St. Fred's, Bastrop, all the local schools that play golf.
Yeah, that Advance, I play out there some. I know it's owned by the Jackson Parish Police Jury and the Parks and Recreation Department. A good friend of mine, my old college roommate, is the Parks and Recreation Director out there, so I get to go out there with him from time to time.
I actually stopped there and played there on the way to Natchitoches. I think it was last year. We traveled down there for football.
Right.
And it might have been 2 years ago. And my daughter was attending that Northwestern at the time, so I decided to leave early to go see her before the game.
Right.
And stopped off, played golf, then went and ate lunch with her, and then got ready for the football game later on that night. So that was a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they've done a lot of work on it, and it's very picturesque out there. A lot of nice scenery. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you coming on. Wish you luck with the rest of the season. Want to be able to keep up with you. So appreciate you coming on the program. Is there any way that people can follow you? Are you on Twitter?
That's above my pay grade. I'm not on Twitter or Facebook or any social media. I'm a low tech guy.
There you go.
I would imagine the kids are.
Right. I'm sure but, Shelby is out there following you from hole to hole, tweeting.
Yeah. They'll all you can contact him, but we're gonna try to get the local paper over there for the tournament Monday, and maybe they'll put they don't cover spring sports too well. I'm not being negative toward them. It's just they're busy with baseball and softball and track and field. So You know, well, the minor sports like tennis and golf don't get much publicity, but hopefully we can get them out there for that.
I'll tell you what, you've got my number. Just feel free to text me the results, and we'll make sure that our listeners know, if nothing else.
I sure will. I can't thank you enough. It's an honor, and thank you for showing interest in these kids, because we have some wonderful golfers in our area, and some really good players and really good kids, and you know, they deserve some recognition. So we sure thank you for all you do for high school sports.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, Coach, and we'll be looking at you down the road.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. This is Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. We're going to take another break. This hour brought to you by Riverport Creative Group. We'll be back with more on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. I'm your host, Byron Avery. We are brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. We're also presented by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs. DBATMonroe.com. Very special, special guest on the line with us now from the West Monroe, West Ouachita Chamber of Commerce, Courtney Hornsby, to talk about some things going on with the Chamber. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know that you got a lot going on today. You're out of town, but you've taken the time to visit with us. So talk to us about the Chamber and about the crawfish boil and skeet shoot.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, we definitely have been really busy over here in West Monroe, and West Monroe, West Ouachita Chamber has been busy. It's been a good time, good season, good start to the year. Of course, we've taken a few weeks to help people who have been affected by the flood, and certainly there are several businesses that have been affected as well as residents, so we've been working with them to try to help them. But, you know, we've been excited about all the new businesses that have been opening up in our community, and just in the past 6 weeks, we've probably had a half dozen new businesses, from restaurants to hotels to retail outlets, so it's an exciting time in the community for sure. But we're even more excited about our spring fundraiser coming up. It's called Shotgun Shells and Crawfish Shells. It's our annual spring fundraiser that will hold on Friday, April 22nd at the Ouachita Parish Sheriff's Office Rifle Range in West Monroe. And as you might guess from the name of the event, it's a two-part event. We have a crawfish boil and we have a skeet tournament. So two things that we love to do here in this part of the state, and it's going to be a great time.
Absolutely. I know that Larry Peeker does a lot with that, and I believe Kenny comes out and helps him. But all the chamber board members go out and help cook, and it's a big day. And, you know, people say, oh, I want to be a member of the chamber and chamber board and all that. But there's a lot of work that goes into these events.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We will be out there all day. And for those of your listeners not familiar with much, if they're sports enthusiasts, I'm sure they are. We're going to have a five-stand skeet tournament. This is the second year we've held it in conjunction with our crawfish boil. And it will be at the range, and we'll be out there all day. The first team will start shooting at 9 a.m., and we'll go all the way through the day until we start the crawfish boil. The crawfish boil itself is from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the rifle range. But, again, we'll be out there all day with the skeet tournament. It's a lot of fun. We were really glad to add it to the fundraiser last year, and I actually shot in it last year. I was part of a lady team. That was a lot of fun. I'd never shot before, and hey, we actually hit some things, so it was a good time. But we have 12 teams, 12 slots open for this year's skeet tournament, and we've got three slots left. So we're looking for three more five-man teams or five-person teams, and anyone interested, they just need to give us a call. We've got some great prizes, and those guys at the rifle range do a great job of putting on the tournament, so it's a lot of fun.
All right. How much crawfish are we cooking?
Oh, we are cooking a lot. We've got 300 tickets that we're selling this year, and everyone that gets a crawfish ticket, it's 5 pounds of crawfish each. That includes your vegetables, you know, your potatoes and corn, and we've got unlimited beverages and dessert. Just a great time, and Kenny and Larry Peeker do a great job with their team of volunteers and cooking those crawfish for us. So, you know, do the math. We've got, we'll have over 1,500 pounds of crawfish we'll be cooking out there. We'll even have live music this year. We've got Early Ray and Josh, a great local duo that will be providing live music between 5 and 8 p.m. at the Crawfish Boil. So, you know, it's a great time. And, you know, of course we encourage chamber members to buy tickets and come out. But if you're not a chamber member and you're kind of wondering, you know, what is it all about, and you want to meet some of the folks, or you just like crawfish and want to come out, you know, the tickets are $25 each. Like I said, we're only selling 300. We've already sold about half of that. So they're going quickly. And we just hit, you know, April 1st yesterday. So we've got a good month to get these sold. So if people want some crawfish, live music, and some good time, we encourage them to get their tickets as soon as possible.
So 1,500 pounds of boiled crawfish, I mean, that sounds like a good day in my book anytime.
Me too.
Now, that is happening April the 25th?
No, Friday, April 22nd.
22nd. Why didn't I say 22nd? I knew it was the 22nd. Okay, April the 22nd, that's a Friday, out at the rifle range on New Natchitoches Road, off New Natchitoches Road in West Monroe.
That's right. Beautiful facility if no one's been there before. You got to go check it out.
Absolutely. Now, so we've got the crawfish boil that starts at 5 and goes to 8. We've got the skeet shoot that day. We've got live music. Pretty much you can plan your weekend around that one day and have a full weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, now, what's next for the chamber? I know we got a golf tournament coming. When's it?
We do. Our golf tournament will be later in the year. It's going to be on a Monday. I think actually on Monday, October 10th, over at Calvert Crossing in Calhoun. You know, but even quicker than that, we're getting ready for a few things that we're going to be doing after our spring fundraiser. We're getting ready in the month of May to celebrate National Small Business Week. And it's really important to us that we really promote and encourage shopping locally and shopping in our small businesses. The majority of our chamber membership would be small businesses that are locally owned. So we really are going to be putting some attention and trying to highlight and celebrate our local small businesses. We will do that through a couple of different promotions and campaigns. But one thing that we do every year, we have a small business awards luncheon. This year it'll take place on Tuesday, May 10th at noon at the West Monroe Convention Center. We're accepting nominations now for several award categories that we use to honor our local small businesses. So we'll be putting out information about that, and it's always a great time to really recognize the hard work and dedication these small business owners put into making their businesses happen and the work that they do and the service they provide for our community. It's tough running a small business. Usually, you know, if you do it, you're married to it in a sense. You have to give it everything you've got, and sometimes it's a whole entire family affair. So we'll be doing that in May. And then later on in the month of June, we're going to have our annual business expo at the West Monroe Convention Center. I believe that date's Friday, June 24th. That'll be a free event for the community. We put it on a Friday in the middle of the summer, so everybody who's out for school, kids, teachers, moms, whoever wants to come on in and check out over 50 of our chamber members and see what kind of businesses we have right here in our community. See what kind of services and goods they provide that you can find in your own backyard. There's no admission, completely free, lots of door prizes and free food and snacks and giveaways. We'll be getting you information on that because that's a lot of fun also.
All right. Well, Courtney, let the folks know the different ways that they can follow or get in touch with the chamber.
Absolutely. Probably the easiest way, you can view our website online, westmonroechamber.org. We also encourage you to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/westmonroechamber. That's constantly updated with the different events and pictures and things that we're doing. You can also follow us on Instagram if you use that form of social media, or call us 325-1961, and we're located right off Professional Drive in West Monroe, and would love to have people stop by or call us if they have any questions or need more information.
All right. Well, Courtney, I appreciate you taking your time today. We will continue promoting this event for the Chamber. You enjoy your Franklin Parish weekend.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later, Courtney.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Courtney Hornsby, president of the West Monroe, West Ouachita Chamber of Commerce. Their annual skeet shoot and crawfish boil, April 22nd, a Friday, out at the Ouachita Parish Sheriff's Office Rifle Range. 9 a.m. skeet shooting starts, crawfish boil 5 to 8 p.m. with live music. So put that down in your date book. Save the date, as they like to say these days. And go out and enjoy some crawfish, unlimited beverages, $25 a ticket. So that can get you in for the music and the crawfish. So for more information, call them at the Chamber, follow them, go to their webpage or their Facebook page. We're going to take another break. When we come back, our closing segment, and we'll talk a little bit of basketball Hall of Fame. Get your opinions on that. You can chime in with us on the Car King Hotline or the Pulpwood Producers text line, both at 888-993-7762. Back in a minute with more from Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7. We've hit the home stretch. We're in our final segment of the day. Tabor, I don't know about you. I don't know if it's a posture problem for me, but I keep sliding down in this recliner they have for us here. Maybe they shouldn't have a recliner, but I've managed to stay awake every week. So it's way too comfortable here at the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty Studios in West Monroe. But wanted to get a little bit into the NBA just because, you know, this is another one of those topics where, you know, is he or isn't he? It's hard to say. It's about impact. But Yao Ming will be a member of the 2016 Hall of Fame class in basketball. Just off the top of your head, what's your first thought?
I don't have a problem with it.
Well, and a lot of people say, you know, he only played 8 years, he didn't dominate, you know, but you have to remember, just like in football, this is not the NBA Hall of Fame. This is the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Leon Barmore's in it. He didn't play in the NBA. Pat Summitt's in it. And if you consider what Yao Ming did in the NBA along with his impact in China, he only played 5 years in China. You know, he did play on two Olympic teams for the Chinese national team, played 5 years for the Shanghai Sharks, which in 2009, when he was still with the Houston Rockets, he purchased that team. So he's the owner of the Shanghai Sharks. But his impact on basketball internationally and in the United States was big. So I don't have a problem with him being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, he didn't have a stellar career. You know, but again, you talk about somebody that's 7'6". Your first thought is, wow, they should dominate. They should be dunking on every play, just post everybody up. But it's not that easy. Most of those big guys aren't as nimble as someone, you know, even 7 feet. You know, Shaq was very nimble and very agile. You know, Yao Ming was much better than Manute Bol, George Mureson, and especially Sean Bradley, and all three of those guys made a living in the NBA. You know, he did play 8 years, made 8 All-Star games. In 2010, he didn't play because of that foot injury, which ultimately led to his retirement at the age of 30. The man made $93 million in the NBA, Tabor. Not bad. His highest year was $17 million in his last season. 2010-2011. But, you know, he averaged 19 points a game at 9.2 rebounds. The man had 769 assists, 920 blocks, and scored 9,247 points. You know, and here's one thing that I admire about Yao Ming. He did his work. You know, most big men, most seven-footers are not good free-throw shooters. Tabor, he made 2,485 of 2,984 free throw attempts. He shot 83.3% from the field. I'm sure his hands weren't real small. You know, that was Shaq's big excuse, was his hands were too big. But just goes to show you what a little effort would do for some of these guys, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if it's just effort. And some people just can flat shoot better than others.
Well, that's true.
And Yao had a soft touch. You know, that even when he first got into the league, that was one of his strengths. And he, as he got bigger and filled out, he kind of got more of a true low post game. But he was always naturally a pretty good shooter.
Yes. Yes, he was. But again, I don't think that's just natural. I think he had to make an effort to practice it, which a lot of big men just don't do. Of course, a lot of true big men don't shoot away from the basket like international players do. I do know that. You know, look at, what's his name in Dallas all of a sudden?
Nowitzki.
Ah, yeah, Dirk. Dirk Nowitzki, 7-footer, you know, not your typical post-up player, not a post-up player at all, really. So I do understand that part of it, but there's been some argument. I know that Jalen Rose is outspoken, says he's a fan of Yao, but in no way, shape, or form does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, and again, a lot of people forget that it's not just the NBA Hall of Fame. It is the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's for basketball, not just the NBA. So I don't really have a problem with it. I liked Yao. I liked watching him. I like watching things like that. Great nicknames, though. You know, last name's Ming, so they called him the Dynasty for the Ming Dynasty, and called him the Great Wall. You know, he is responsible, by many accounts, for the popularity of our basketball in China. You know, almost for that alone, you might want to put him in the Hall of Fame, because China represents a lot of people. 200 million people play basketball in China. 200 million. And 300 million are watching games at any time. So, huge influence on basketball in China. Two things I want to end the show with today, Mr. Tabor. I do want to remind everyone, rather, about the Rhythm and Wine event in May at Landry Vineyards, the Rhythm and Wine for Alzheimer's. Don't forget about our Purple Movement going on. You can look up hashtag Purple Movement to see on Twitter some of the events. Anytime you want to post on our page, our Facebook page, the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977FM. You want to post about any comment about Alzheimer's or any questions about Alzheimer's, please use hashtag Purple Movement. Same on our Twitter feed, the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at TSports977FM. So May the 6th, that's a Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. at Landry Vineyards on New Natchitoches Road, 5699 New Natchitoches Road to be exact, in West Monroe. $20 if you purchase your tickets ahead of time. I'm going to have entertainment by Early Ray and Josh Ezell. So a fun time there. Don't call Landry's for ticket information. They're just the venue. But you can find out more by calling Riverport Creative Group at 537-9373. Tickets, you can also get them at the Glenwood Behavioral Health Center at 128 Ridgedale Drive in West Monroe. Go to the website for Riverport Creative Group, riverportcreativegroup.com. Last but not least, I want to thank Mr. John Tabor for all the hard work he does producing our show and all the others. Couldn't do it without him. He is, as the old movie line says, outstanding in his field. So, Tabor, thanks for the show today. Thanks for all that you do. We're cutting out just a few minutes early, but want to invite you back next week, same time, same place, talking sports, ESPN 97.7. Thanks to all of our broadcast partners, Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana, Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance, Greg Phillips State Farm Insurance, DBAT of Monroe, Katie's, Car King, Pulpwood Producers, Glassworks of West Monroe, Riverport Creative Group, and Assurance Financial of West Monroe. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.